Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's post-holiday Happy New Year edition of Banner in the Blue Shirt. I'm Mike Murphy, at DigDeepBSB on Twitter. I'm joined, as always, by the lovely Hawaiian shirt wearing, in my heart, Tom Urch Jr., and that is what he is on Twitter, too. I need a new Twitter handle, Tom. I need something professional. Otherwise, I'll never get verified, and then how do I love myself?
Well, you should love yourself always, and we'll have to come up, because I thought, like, at one point, we were, like, debating this offline of what we should have as your handle, because, like, I know, I think my first Twitter handle was, like, at Tom Urch Jr. underscore NYR or something like that. There was a couple of...
dope.
Well, yeah, and there was, like, a couple of, like, startup sites that, like, went absolutely nowhere. I think, like, one was, like, Sports Haze and one was, like, GAC Sports or whatever. And I, like, did GAC. The thing where you want to have, like, the organization in your handle, so it was, like,
yeah,
you know,
like, so, DigDeepBSB.
Well, yeah, well, that's a fit for you. And I think, like, the Dig Deep part, like, what I think of that, I just think of, like, Coach Buick, like, oh. Pucks in deep, gotta work along the boards and just dig deep. And I think for you, and especially now that you've sort of made this, I don't even honestly have made a pivot, but you're doing all this work in data with women's hockey. Like, you are literally digging deep for this information, and it just fits you.
The problem is there's too many goddamn Mike Murphys in the world.
Yeah, I don't have that problem with my last name. Although
it's
I do
you and
get
the Utz potato chips. That's
yes,
only, that's all, your only competition is potato chip.
Well, I am like a potato chip, you know, like human couch potato. But
what's your favorite potato chip?
My favorite potato chip is mesquite barbecue.
That's a great answer. I like Cape Cod. I like the crunch, and like the subgenre is actually also mesquite barbecue. One day after all this is over, Tom, we'll get a family size bag of mesquite barbecue chips and we'll open both ends and we'll let our hands meet in the middle.
Like, you know, sort of like the hand on the Sistine Chapel, just, you know.
Yeah. It's like a little bit of that, a little bit of Lady and the Tramp.
yes.
We'll find each other through the grease and flavor seasonings. Yeah. I always feel bad about myself when I come out of the chip bag and there's seasoning on my knuckles. And it only gets there, I know, because I've gone so hard after those last couple little shards of chip.
You've dug deep.
Yeah, I dug deep, exactly. So, we were just actually on Blue Shirts Breakaway with Ryan and Greg. I'm of the opinion you should consume all Rangers content, especially content done by good people. And Ryan and Greg are good people, so give their show a listen and follow them both on Twitter. I know, like, you know, mostly just Greg is on the Blue Shirts Breakaway account, and then Ryan, of course, is the head of a church, the Church of Capocacco. So, Ryan Mead, I believe, is the Twitter handle. But we had fun talking a little bit about camp, and we don't want to go over too much of what we talked about there here, Tom, but there's a lot of little nuggets and jingles and little sprinkles of things that happened since last we talked, because we took Christmassy New Year's time off, and
how dare we?
Yeah, how dare we, right? But we have a lot of things to talk about, the first of which is something we did talk a bit about with Ryan and Greg, but I'd like to just chat with you about it specifically, is why did it take this long for the Rangers to move D'Angelo to the left side? And is it a good thing, and is Tom happy that it's D'Angelo and Trouba entering camp?
Yeah, it's weird, and it's kind of funny, because I want to make sure I have the right tweet. I saw, all right, there it is. So, Dave from Blue Seat Blogs, it was actually almost a year to the day, so it was on January 2nd, 2020, he had wrote a post about it's time for the Rangers to embrace, you know, an offhanded pair defenseman, and he suggests moving Tony DeAngelo to the left. And then during the summer, which might have been Tony, might not have been, it was from the Watch Your Tone podcast Twitter, like, yeah, we've seen the articles, left side, flat cap, yada yada yada, we're shocked you want him to move left. And then lo and behold, D'Angelo's, you know, first guy up in the chute. My whole thing was that basically I really don't see what the whole hullabaloo is having left-handed defensemen on the left, right-handed defensemen on the right, except for when you're in the offensive zone in a face-off situation. And like the best example I can give, and it's a little far back, but the Rangers' infamous playoff win against Washington when they tied it with, you know, 6.6 seconds left. And then in overtime, Mark Stahl scores a goal to win it. And what the Rangers has did on that faceoff play is they had switched the defenders so that they were in a position. No. You win the faceoff and you can get a shot off. And it worked. So I can understand that logic. Like, I know you see it a lot on like the power play where, okay,
plays off faceoffs. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but when it comes to like defensive zone coverage, really it's like, okay, everyone has an assignment, you know, whether it's like you're looking at it from like, you know, F1, F2, F3, and you get this person. And if, you know, don't want to go like all, you know, like John Madden, like explaining like, oh, you got to do this blocking and tackling. But to me, I don't see the big deal. And the only potential positive I can see, because defending is not his strong suit, and like that's not just like a way to slag him because he does bring a lot of things offensively, is that they can benefit from having him with Trouba, who obviously really good shot, offensive minded defenseman, is you have someone like Tony that can move the puck up the ice, that can skate the puck up the ice. Then when it's time to leave the zone, it's not just leaving Jacob Trouba to like, you know what, I need to rim it out, or I need to, you know, skate it up a little bit, find someone who can, you know, scoot it on up. So it'll give them opportunities to have a different look. But
Tommy Lakey.
Yeah, I think it's fine. But I'd rather like, that's not the thing I'm most excited about. Like, I would be excited if they said, you know what, we're gonna give like Keandre Miller a look in the left side and, you know, one of the top two pairings, by putting him, whether it's with Trouba as the veteran, or whether it's like, let's have a lot of fun and just do Fox and Miller. But we shall see. Camp has just begun, and there we go.
Yeah, that's the other part of this, is camp has just begun. You know, we know Laff is starting with Hedl and with Julien Gauthier, which is also really fun. But again, it's camp. Things can change. The lines can change and all of that. And it is worth pointing out that camp is pretty darn short, because we're recording this on January 4th, Tom. That means the NHL season is a week and a half away. I mean, the Rangers are 10 days away, but yeah, that is just bonkers to me that it's actually here and that this is going on. Like I mentioned, you know, the other thing we could talk about is Lafreniere being on the third line, but we actually talked a lot about that with Ryan and Greg. But I was actually looking forward to talking to you specifically, diving a little bit deeper into the fourth line. And, you know, we talked a bit with Ryan and Greg about specifically Brett Howden and his future with his team and his role, and how it's a wonderful thing that perhaps he's not the third line right winger. But more interesting to me is who actually ends up on this fourth line. Like, to me, I feel like the only guy who's kind of you know, like a guarantee is Brendan Lemieux. I just feel like Brendan Lemieux will be the right winger on that fourth line. But beyond that, it's kind of a toss-up. Even it looks like Brett Howden might be competing for his roster spot.
It certainly feels to me that they have so many guys in camp that they're just looking for someone to push through and make it. Like, obviously with the taxi squad, they have a lot of flexibility of being able to have players who otherwise would be in Hartford to start. But like your Justin Richardses, your Patrick Kotarenkos, Austin Rushoffs, Morgan Barron, you have so many guys, like just from the prospect perspective, and then you go into, you know, Gabriel Fontaine or Philip DiGiuseppe, who was on the roster last year, or Johnny Brodzinski, Colin Blackwell, and then Kevin Rooney, who guys that they signed at the beginning of free agency. There's just so many opportunities for almost new blood to see what they can do. And given the nature of having a pretty condensed schedule, although in the case of the Rangers, I think they have the fewest back-to-backs in the league. And obviously, it's not really intense travel. You know, they go as far north as Buffalo, and they'll obviously go out to Pittsburgh and, you know, go down to Washington. But they're not covering a lot of ground. So it's not like fatigue is going to be a thing, and you're going to be situations where, okay, you are playing in a city, but you're going to play either back to back twice, you're going to play, have a day off, and all that. But it just seems to me that they're at least creating the illusion of, well, we had everyone in camp, we gave them an equal opportunity to show what they can do, and so and so just happened to be the best player or the best fit. It's not this like years past where the camp invite is someone like Maxim LaPierre, who like, oh, this is the competition. You know, Ryan Malone or whatever. Like, these guys don't really have a shot.
Man, Ryan Malone. Wow. I haven't thought about Ryan Malone in a long time. I actually think you make a really good point there with it almost seems like they're going out of their way to try to be like, we're doing this as minding the P's and Q's, crossing everything off, like making a list, going down, trying to do this as thoroughly and, you know, by the books as we can with this training camp, when we all know it's not a real typical training camp. It's much, much different than what we've grown accustomed to. And because of that, it is really interesting that there is a little bit of doubt, you know, over whether or not someone like Brett Howden makes this team and what that means. Like, also, I think we should be a little clear when we say things like makes this team. We should, like, a regular fixture in the roster out of camp, because there's going to be the taxi squad. And, you know, in all likelihood, if someone like a Brett Howden doesn't make the, you know, the opening night roster, what have you, he'll be in the taxi squad. But it is interesting to me that someone like, you know, you look at what Jesper Foss leaving the team means, and I think that the Rangers are looking at some of those guys. You know, they're looking at guys who can kind of be a budget Jesper Foss in some ways, like Kevin Rooney, you know, and to some extent, you know, Colin Blackwell, although I think, generally speaking, Rooney's underlying defensive metrics are just better. But, you know, those are guys who are depth defensive centers that are kind of fringe NHLers that can play, you know, a fourth line role. Rooney did that with the Devils. And you look at that and you say, well, is it really a coincidence, Tom, that those guys are here and they were signed, and that, you know, Morgan Barron really looks like he's going to get a chance, which is great. And it's what the team should do. Just like the team absolutely, even with the cap headaches it might create, should give someone like Keandre Miller every possible opportunity to make this team. You know, we could get into the whole Jack Johnson thing, but I think it's really interesting to look at the fourth line, because I know a lot of people are focused on the defense right now with the news that D'Angelo's moved to the left and what that means for the third pair, because that is a big story. It's a really, really big story, especially because, wow, it would really help Jacob Trouba's reputation and make him feel better about himself too, maybe, if he has a quality defensive partner. And I think having someone like D'Angelo to play with will help kind of bring out the strengths in Trouba's game. Dom Lucijan wrote a good preview on the Rangers where, you know, he kind of broke down the fact that, yeah, Trouba's not a great puck-moving defenseman. He does a lot of things pretty great, pretty well, I should say, nothing really great. He's very physical and well-balanced. Like, for a big, bruising guy, he has a lot of those offensive upside things you look for. And I think having someone who's has really good vision, like a D'Angelo, will go a long way in terms of, like, tapping into Trouba's offense and his potential. It'll go a lot further than, let's say, Lieber Hayek will. Yeah, it's interesting to me, though, to look at what that fourth line is going to be. When we talked with Greg, he pointed out that someone, you know, who could make some noise on special teams, and meaning really the penalty kill, could really carve out a role for himself and challenge for a roster spot, because there is a big hole to fill with Jesper Foss gone. And you, if you're the Rangers, you have all these kids, right? Especially in the bottom six. Think of how many kids are in the bottom six. How many of those young forwards do you trust on the penalty kill right now? It's a little dicey, right? Like,
yeah,
you don't want to throw any of them out there to the Wolves, and especially if Jacques Martin is really optimistic about Jack Johnson and how he could help the Rangers penalty kill, which apparently, Tom, I don't know if you saw this, but Vince Mercogliano was tweeted about that the Rangers were really optimistic and confident about the trend in the defense, and they felt that in the last 20 to 30 games of the season, they were top 10 in the league in defensive metrics.
Do they also have a bridge in Brooklyn there they can sell me?
Yeah. It is something that I know I was already just rambling, but it is really interesting to me that we come to this impasse when we talk about the gap in data between what's available to the public, thanks to sites like Evolving Wild and Natural Stat Trick, which are both tremendous and awesome, and what teams have behind lock and key, because data is incredibly valuable, and every professional sports team that takes data and the analysis of it seriously is doing themselves a favor, because there's a science to things, and you can understand and predict outcomes. You can look for certain things. You can develop team tactics better. You can do so many things with analytics. It really makes me wonder, Tom, how big that gap is between what's there for the public and what's there for teams in terms of a private resource, or if they have a deal with like a company like SportsLogic, for example, and how much different things like, you know, just the story that we might see from in the Rangers case, you know, the Rangers feel really good about being a team that creates good scoring chances. They never really outchance teams or outshoot them or outpossess them, but they're a very good team in terms of scoring chances. And that seems to be something they care about. Yet they're also in the bottom 10 of the league in terms of the scoring chances against. So it was interesting to me that they seem to put a spotlight on, look how good we are at creating these scoring chances offensively. And then they talk about being the top 10 defensive metrics. But the public data we have points to the fact that, like, when it comes to high danger, Corsi 4, expected goals against, you know, scoring chances against, all those rate statistics, the Rangers are not good at those things, Tom. So even especially, I looked at the data, especially in the last 20 to 30 games, things were trending up, I should point out, but not by a ton. Like, not by enough where you'd be like, oh, this ship's turning around. It's interesting to me, to say the least. And it is something I'm sure we're going to end up talking a lot about with Jacques Martin and looking at the big shakeup in terms of the defense and maybe having another couple kids in the defense, like someone like Keandre Miller.
That would be nice. Just have Keandre Miller on the team and someone who, it's a fresh look, and it's, again, a bit of, here's the future, a little sooner than we thought. But better than pretty much everything else they've deployed over the past few seasons.
Yeah, especially because you'll deploy him and have him on the ice with the serving the purpose of developing him. Because the other bit of news that happened just before we hopped on Blue Shirts Breakaway was the AHL, Tom, and the divisions, and a couple teams opted out, and the Hartford Wolfpack are in a division with two other hockey teams.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, I look at the alignment, and after it came out, I think, let me see if I got this right. So they tweeted something out like the effect of more information specific to the Wolfpack is still being finalized, determined, and will be released soon. But it's crazy because, like, it's almost like on a sliding scale, the way this chart goes. It's like you have the Pacific, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 teams. And then it goes to the Central. And then, like, Canadian division is 4 teams. And then Atlantic, 3 teams. Bridgeport, Hartford, Providence.
It's crazy. It's the things like this where, like, any other year we'd look at this and be like, what the hell's going on? But because of pandemic and sports, we look at this and we're like, oh, this is what we're left with. You know, this is what we have to kind of make do with. It's, you know, like, what's for dinner tonight? It's leftovers. And it's like, what are we having? We're having tacos and hamburgers and, you know, half of a corn on the cob. I don't know. It's so bizarre to me that that looks like you said, details are still being ironed out, especially related to the Wolfpack. But that is just utterly batshit to me. But I don't know. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about in regards to the storylines that have emerged out of camp?
Nothing particular, because it's just been a, you know, it's not, there's not been much camp really. Like, I think one thing we didn't really talk too much about was that, like, Zibanejad hasn't skated yet, and, like, I've not seen anything firm on it, but I feel like I saw somewhere that he's still quarantining because he got to New York a little later than he thought. But the team's not really said anything. And then, of course, we have all the reporters saying that, you know, during the season, you know, the protocols still, you know, they're not going to talk about, like, COVID-related things. But for now, I wouldn't say much. Well, maybe, you know, next week we'll have a little more information. Sure. Just on everything.
I wanted to ask you a question. It's something we are planning some preview content of Rep Blue Shirt Banner, as you might expect. I wanted to ask you, we know the length of the season. We know what the modern trend is in the NHL in terms of goalie platoons, and you would imagine that teams have even more of an incentive than usual to kind of go with a platoon based on how this is a crazy, like, crazy mad dash through this season. How many games is Igor Shesterkin going to start? Because, like, looking at trying to develop, you know, like, preview content for the Rangers, I think, like, there's so many goddamn stories with this team, which is great for us because there's no shortage of ideas to explore. But a lot of people feel like, yeah, like, Igor was so great last season and he lived up to the hype, which is crazy for a young goalie to do because that stuff just doesn't really happen very often. And you look at the Rangers, they still have Georgiev, which is great, especially in light of everything that's developed since those, you know, a couple of years ago when we started thinking about the Rangers moving on from Georgiev and what that could mean. But I'm really curious how many games Igor starts and if this remains something of a 1A, 1B thing, because we're transitioning away from that weird three-headed monster situation. And, you know, in light of everything that's happening heading into this season, it's almost like people are overlooking the fact that, like, oh yeah, Igor is still like a rookie. He's still, you know, a baby pretty much. And it's weird to think of how much is going to be asked of him because, you know, Georgiev's been around a while now. You know, he's, you wouldn't exactly call him a veteran, but he's an established NHL goaltender. And I wonder if someone like if Igor stumbles a bit out of the gates, is it going to be like, all right, well, we'll just transition and figure things out? I keep trying to think of, like, doing an over and under and trying to put a number on what would be an impressive number of starts, but it's hard because of the schedule, right?
So I think this schedule presents a unique opportunity and also a challenge in some respects on how teams will handle goaltending, because It's a situation that, and I talked briefly a bit, and I really didn't explain it in too much detail on the show we did with Ryan and Greg, that you have this baseball-like schedule, and, like, I don't know how many people listening to this podcast are avid baseball fans or not, but when you have, like, a typical baseball schedule where you might play three games, you know, in a row, or some series have four, you might have certain matchups that you're looking to avoid. So hypothetically, okay, this team has three lefty starters in the rotation, and the way our lineup is constructed, that we just have, you know, some guys who struggle to hit lefties. So we're going to give this look in games 1, 2, and 3, or, you know, this guy's okay at hitting lefties, better against righties. We're going to shift him up down in the order. In the playoffs, we see this where you're playing the same team over and over that you have to make all of these adjustments because it's really easy to, you have a game plan and you try and execute it. But if you're trying to move the puck up the ice, right, they just know, okay, we're going to look for this look. This forward's going to be waiting around the dots, or they're going to rim it around the boards and trying to bring it up this side or whatever. In the case of goalies, it's about repetition. It's about playing. It's about feeling the puck. And you could be in a situation where you're playing the Penguins 3 out of 4. And if there's something that they're seeing in Igor and they're exploiting it, it's okay. We're gonna ride Georgie for a little bit. And then at the same time, if they then see something in Georgie, it's going to be hard because it's then like, okay, who do you want to, like, what's the lesser of two evils to an extent? But I think from a development, from a getting ready for NHL action perspective, like, this is great for Igor, because I think it was in May or June of 2019, I wrote a piece looking at Igor and, okay, what are some goalies that are sort of like him in the sense of goalies that were in the KHL, goalies that played in Europe, overseas, like, not, you know, NCAA, not CHL. How did they come over and how were they utilized? And I think it was Rask, it was Vasilevsky, it was Bobrovsky, a couple other guys. Freddie Anderson was another. And the common theme was trying to find a rhythm and not pushing too hard. And the best example I can give of pushing too hard in the wrong direction was Vasilevsky, where they tried to bring him along slowly. They had him be the starter for a season in the AHL. I believe he started another season in the AHL, and then they brought him up. But he went on record of saying, "Is like, you know, I'm really tired. Like, I've like hit a wall. I have this fatigue. Like, I'm not used to this." And obviously, you know, we bring forward all these years, and he was a rock in the recent Stanley Cup final and playoffs and wins a cup and, you know, no worse for wear. So, long way and meandering way of getting to your question, I think that Igor is going to be the guy from the get-go, but you're going to see, I want to say, maybe it's like a, I don't want to say like 30-26, because I feel like that would be too much of a tandem. Maybe it's a 35, you know, for Igor. And who knows? There might be a situation where they roll in like a third goalie because
you can carry a whole shitload of goalies.
Yeah, and if that one particularly is Kincaid, who has NHL experience, then you could see a completely different formula. But long story short, and, you know, to get more direct to the point, I think it's Igor's net for the get-go, and then they just they see what happens.
I agree with you, though. That is something they should be mindful of in terms of they don't want to burn Igor out. I think there's a lot of, like, even if he looks great, rest him. I know that the team just absolutely jumped onto his shoulders when he looked as good as he looked right out of the gate, and it's like, all right, here we go, Henrik Lundqvist too. But it is like a storyline that I don't think a lot of people are talking about, is what Igor is going to do in this, you know, his second season. And I'm really curious about what his usage is going to look like. And you know, and that's even outside of considering all the weird dynamics of the schedule as it is and everything else, like you mentioned, being able to carry extra goalies with Keith Kincaid, yada, yada. But yeah, it's crazy to think we're right up against the season now. And, you know, we know we're going to dive more into things next time around, but That was the other big thing I was looking forward to asking you. You know, we can really, I know we were hoping to get Adam on soon to talk about World Juniors. So we'll refrain from comment on that as well, because we had a couple of Rangers prospects play. And even tonight, I think Braden Schneider scored a goal. So that was fun. But yeah, was there anything else we wanted to dig into this week, Tom, or we want to keep it nice and short?
Yeah, I think we keep it nice and short. I know, like, we've been talking a little bit offline of how we may want to approach the season, whether it's a situation where, because a lot of it is, again, it's going to be dictated by the schedule and when they're playing, and we want to stay current.
There's no late games, we should mention. All the games are pretty early.
Although it will, people will be denied by my stellar Blue Shirts After Dark, you know, content on Twitter. You know, but I'll have some spicy tweets that are, you know, still, you know, would fit that criteria. But I think, yeah. But before we go, I just want to put in a brief spot for an ad so that we can pay the bills, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday, and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Just like that, you listen to some form of advertisements. I hope they were something
that's a quality product.
Yeah, I hope it was something of use for you. If it was an ad for another podcast on you know, the SB Nation network, you know, cool. But
a quality product.
A quality product. That's just how we should do it every
time. I remember back in the day throwing ball outside in the yard with my pa, and he told me about insert product name.
Yeah, it was you know, it was made the right way, and it just had that perfect, you know, feel, and it was a real quality product.
Quality product. I think I've already ruined this bit, but
it's fine. But speaking of not ruining things, thank you to our lovely patrons who continually support us. It really means a lot. We understand that things are tough. We understand.
Holy hell, thank you, everyone. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, we say this all the time, and, you know, we mean it every time we say it. We get it. You know, those who have to adjust, those who have to drop off, anything you give us is greatly appreciated. We do this podcast because we love the Rangers. I love talking to Mike. It's a good cathartic way, because, like, sometimes you have thoughts and you can tweet something out, but it's just literally putting a bunch of numbers and letters into a void. But when you can actually speak something, you can feel it, like, oh, I got this off my chest. That's really cool. And, you all really help put this together, and supporting us is great. A 6 foot gap, Adam Nahoic, Gain Kaspar, Amriel Kistner, Andrew Shikagoff, Andy White, Anthony Viola, Beezer, Ben Pierney, Bjarne Osterheim, Bob Kawa, Bobby Callahan, Captain America, Chris Abebe, Chris Lucas, Chris Marco Trigiano, Clark Carroll, Daniel Dezen, Frank Menino, George Lippman, Jamie Bussell, Jason Silverman, Jeff Owen, Jermaine Francis, John Przepelski, John Reppy, Jordan Sassone, Justin Waltz, Keith Franchillo, Kevin Mead, Kush Tastic, Kyle Napolitano, Matt Bader, Matt Pumple, Matthias Olson, Michael Kennick, Michael Marcus, Michael Silvers, Nikolai Hoffman, Panarin 2020, Patrick Landell, Perennial Powerhouse, Sammy Vogel-Seinberg, Sean, Stieg Bjalbach, Stink Fleeman, Tall Guy Rob, The Tin Man, Tori from Manhattan, Trevor Kempner. Thanks again. If you are someone that's not a Patreon subscriber, and you want to help support the podcast, great. You can look in the show notes. If you're listening on iTunes, you know, you just click in the details and you scroll down, you'll see, you know, information about the Patreon, you know, links to my Twitter feed, Mike's, and when we do have guests. If you're, you know, listening through Megaphone, you should be able to access that too. But if you ever have any questions, feel free to reach out to one of us on Twitter. But yeah, thank you for all your support, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah, there's no show without you guys. We say it all the time, but we do want to make sure we say it before things kind of kick off again, because we know, just like you, we've been starving for NHL hockey, and I'm so glad it's here. I'm nervous still that it's going to be taken away from us because of the realities of the pandemic, but let's be optimistic, Tom. They pulled off the bubble. Let's hope they can pull this off. I hope, like all hell, it's a great year. A great year for the site, a great year for the podcast, and more importantly, I hope it's a great year for all of our listeners, everyone who clicks on our articles, reads what we do, you know, tunes into the podcast, tells people about what we do. We appreciate it so much. Be safe this year. For the goodness sake, stay healthy. Wash your hands, still wear a mask, do all the things we need to do. And the sooner we do all those things as a collective, the sooner we can get back to something that looks like normal. I hope that's soon, but maybe a little bit of Rangers hockey will help us all feel a little closer to normal, and that sure would be nice.
Agreed. And also, one last note. Thank you also, everyone who has also sent notes to either Mike or myself on some of the interviews we've done. Mike shared a few with me, and we appreciate the comments, the feedback, the, you know, the
nice
kind
things.
Words.
When you say nice things to me, it makes me feel good, everybody. Gives me the feel goodies. Sometimes we need a little feel goodies to get through the day.
Yeah, and when Mike will be like, hey, I got a message, and then sometimes it's like, oh, I wonder what this message is, and then I read it, and it's like, wow, this like made my morning or made my afternoon. Because it's a lot of these comments, it's like lengthy, like people are going in depth. It's not just like, hey, yeah, I really like this podcast, which, you know, those little notes
are
great too.
They're taking a couple minutes to say they appreciate the show, and goodness, that's nice.
It makes us feel good. Like, I appreciate our patrons. Mike, I appreciate you. Good to be talking to you again. And be well, and I will talk to you offline. But thanks again, everyone, for listening. We will...
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year. Talk to you next week. Be well. Bye-bye.